Lunch with Pippa Hudson
on Cape Talk.
Join the conversation.
Joining me on the couch today is a young filmmaker who grew up here in Cape Town, but is now telling stories over in the City of Angels. Her name is Santi Naidu, and she is a 25-year-old graduate of UCT who has been working for an independent production company in Los Angeles called Submarine Entertainment. We're really lucky to have her with us today. We've caught her on a flying visit back to Cape Town to catch up with friends and loved ones, and we really want to talk to her not only about the career path so far, but about the buzz around one of her latest projects, which is a short film called Jerome. Santi, great to have you with us. Thanks for popping into studio and making time during what I know is a fairly short visit. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Tell us a bit about yourself. You grew up in Cape Town? Tell us a little more.
Yeah, so I born and bred in Cape Town, lived in Claremont, then Rondebosch for most of my years. Went to school in the area and then also then studied at UCT. So really stuck to the homegrown roots.
Okay.
But it was a good time.
And the love of film, was that a bug that bit early? Are you one of those kids who grew up fascinated with movies, or did it happen along the way somewhere?
Very much so. Yeah. My parents had to ban me from watching TV during the week because otherwise I'd be glued to it. But I enjoyed photography and telling stories from a very young age.
Okay.
And from there, eventually realized, oh, this could be a career path. And then took that on through high school and into university.
Okay, now it's one thing to say, I'm obsessed with film, I want a career in the movies. Many of us go through that phase. It's quite another to make your way to Los Angeles and actually do it. Santi, how did it happen? I mean, I know you had a great run through UCT. You ended up graduating cum laude. You got your postgraduate degree in film and TV studies. Even then, it's a big leap to get overseas. How did it happen?
It was actually during the pandemic. I think it was obviously a bittersweet time, but it was a time in which the work in Cape Town generally slowed down, and in South Africa generally. So it was a good opportunity for me to be like, okay, I would like to move on and try the international scene a little bit. And that meant applying for grad schools internationally. The US was one of the few places, obviously, that's got a really established film industry and always kind of calls in that area. But that's where I found the American Film Institute and ended up during the pandemic moving to LA to go there.
Okay. Now, you said photography and storytelling was the key thing. And then weaving that into movies, but I know you've also done stage production and the like as well. Primarily your focus is as a producer though. Santi, I think a lot of people don't really know what a producer does, and I'm sticking my hand up here as well. Do you want to elaborate and explain to us what that role encompasses?
Sure. Yeah. It's I kind of say you're like a managerial position where you're overseeing everything.
Okay.
The key to my job is knowing what everyone does, but not having to do what everyone does.
Yeah.
So from the get-go, we're developing projects and scripts. Then we're taking and looking for financing, which can be really tough.
Right.
And then you go into physical production. You oversee the hiring, unfortunately, sometimes the firing of people as well.
Okay.
You go through post-production. You oversee the process, make sure the edit is going smoothly and you're handing in on time. And then all the way to marketing and distribution and getting the film out to the world, you're really there through the whole process and making sure that the cogs are continuously moving and that fires are being put out and that this machine is kind of going forward and you're making a film.
So you're the ringleader in the circus, but also the firefighter,
yes.
The accountant. It
yes.
sounds like you have to wear a lot of hats in there.
You do indeed.
What do you find most satisfying about that?
I think the two parts that are really satisfying, there's a lot of logistics in making things work. And I think when you can make things fit perfectly and like execute smoothly, that tickles a part of your brain that's like, okay, this is functioning. But then also making magic with people. I think when you can connect the right people to one another and you can really find people who want to tell similar stories or have similar work ethic, I think from there, when you find that magic, it's like incredible to watch it pan out.
Mm. Do people come to you with stories saying, I've had this idea and I think it would make a great film, or do you go out looking for them, or is it a bit of both?
A little bit of both. I get a lot of people who, especially starting out and don't really know the due process of things, will come up to me and be like, oh, I had this idea and I'd like to talk it through. And I'm like, okay, but I need something a bit more material than just an idea. But also, I work in development at Submarine at the moment. So a lot of my time is spent reading articles and books and finding IP to turn into films at some point.
What an exciting job. I can't think how often I've watched, you know, read a book or written a magazine piece or a news story and thought, wow, I'd love to know more about that. So you're kind of doing that, and your brain must be firing off in all directions every time you pick up any piece of written work about suddenly would this work on screen. Is it mainly about the core of the story and the emotion of the story, or are you thinking in visuals and you start reading a book and you're picturing, I'd cast this actor in the role and this is how we'd set it and this is where we'd shoot it?
Very often the emotional element of a story and the characters are what draw you in. But once you're in, you can have that creative exploration. Right. You can start looking at what might work and what might be exciting about this project. Also, what is feasible, because that's a big element of all of this.
For anybody who came in midway to the conversation, our guest in studio is Santi Naidu, a Cape Town born and bred and educated film producer, these days working in Los Angeles with Submarine Entertainment. And let's talk a little bit about one of your most recent projects, a short film called Jerome, which I watched over the weekend and was immediately gripped by the storytelling. Santi, there is a young man at the heart of it who is grappling with his own identity because of an absent father. It may be set in an American context, but that's a story that South Africans will really relate to. Now, short film, again, it's a medium not everybody sort of knows about or gets to explore that often unless they go to short film festivals. But you have been doing really well. I believe this film was even submitted to the people who look at things like this for the Oscars. Tell us a little bit more about this project.
Yes, this was a project part of the Flip the Script program, which was run by a company in the US. The director is actually someone I went to the American Film Institute with. We had collaborated previously and he decided to bring me on for this. So I was there and we kind of went through pre-production and production and went out. And I don't think we realized how big it would get. It is obviously a story that touches a lot of people's hearts and is predominantly surrounding the story of a single mother and what it's like to be the sole parent in a child's life. And that clearly spoke to a lot of people, and it went to a whole bunch of film festivals, and certain film festivals like the Durban International Film Festival, for example, are Oscar qualifying festivals.
Okay.
And if you go to enough Oscar qualifying festivals, you essentially get shortlisted for nomination. So you're eligible to be considered by Academy voters for a nomination to the Oscars. Obviously, this year we didn't get nominated, but even just being in that pool of films, was incredible.
So, I mean, it may only be 14 or 15 minutes long, but boy, it packs a punch, because you've got the young man and his struggle, and then you've got that mom, and I don't want to give too much away, but that scene where he's saying, you know, I don't know who I am without him, without my father, and she's saying, but I'm here, I've been all of this to you. Very, very powerful stuff. Now, you said Durban International Film Festival. Has this film been shown there already?
Unfortunately not. We didn't make it in time for that deadline. And we're hoping that it does get screened in South Africa soon.
Okay.
But no, we made it to a few Oscar qualifying festivals in the US and in Europe.
Okay. So what next? I mean, you're here on a short break and then it's back to LA to throw yourself back into this world. To have a film like that that's out there, that's creating some buzz, that's hitting the festival circuit with your name attached to it. Obviously, every one of these is a step up that ladder towards where you want to be. Where is it that you want to be? I mean, do you imagine yourself up on stage holding an Oscar one day? Is that the end goal?
That would be nice. I think a really big part of my journey, especially in the States, is to be able to bridge the industry between South Africa and the US. I think there's so many stories in South Africa that are so rich and definitely need to be told, but we just don't have the means or, I guess, the efficiency to make it the way the US does. So I'd really love to do that. And I think eventually land up as head of production at some company where I can be on set and oversee projects, but still have some stability in life, because freelancing is really intense. But I think overall I'd love to come back to South Africa at some point and work internationally between South Africa and other parts of the world.
And short film, I know, a starting point perhaps for taking a concept that could potentially be developed into a feature film or sometimes stands alone in the short format. How much does it matter to see something? I'm thinking back to Netflix showing the Wes Anderson short films of the Roald Dahl adaptations. first time I ever recall seeing a short film screened on a platform like that. Yes. Maybe I just wasn't aware of them before and I only noticed this because I love Wes Anderson and I love Roald Dahl. But for me, that was quite a moment to be able to go onto a big platform like that and have the option to watch a short film. Is that a turning point? Was that unusual?
It's becoming more usual, which is really good to say. I think internationally, platforms like HBO Max and Netflix, and I think even Apple and Hulu and stuff are showing short films a bit more regularly on their platforms,
right.
Because often they're tied in with film festivals, big film festivals like Sundance and South by Southwest. But I think it is definitely, they've lived on places like YouTube and Vimeo for far too long, which sometimes doesn't appreciate them in the way that they should be appreciated. Mm. So it would be good to see more of them end up on places like Showmax or even DSTV. I mean, I'm sure
Multi-Choice
can find some space for that. But I think it's definitely, you know, as times change and it becomes more expensive to make bigger projects, I think short films are a great way to explore stories, whether that's as a proof of concept for something bigger or just as a standalone project that is exciting for people.
I hope somebody with those in the know at Multi-Choice was listening to that last comment. So Santi, I mean, it's back to the US quite soon. What's next for you in the immediate future?
At the moment, just back to work, same old, same old. I have a few freelance projects lined up for the next coming months, but it's a lot of just short films as I continue to do the freelance work on the side. It's a lot of passion projects, hopefully nothing too intense.
Mm-hmm.
But at the moment, we're developing documentaries, and that's a good space to be in right now because it feels really enriching and soulful. So I'm excited for that.
Is there one big South African story you really hope you're going to get the chance to tell one day?
Oh, there are lots. There are lots. I think there's so many, I guess, post-apartheid stories that are really fascinating of people making the transition over into what some might consider normal life. But I think it's, as a South African, we all know that post-apartheid, it wasn't much of a change and is still something that is really a lot of people are grappling with. So I think there are a lot of stories of kind of the generation of people who grew up between the end of apartheid and the beginning of post-apartheid. So I think there are a lot of folks that I would be interested to sit down and interview and figure out what their stories are.
What about the youngsters coming up behind you? I bet your name has been mentioned in the UCT Film School every year as look at where you can go with this kind of thing. I mean, what advice to somebody who like you, might have grown up with the dream of one day, and how do you turn that into reality? What do you need to be aware of or be prepared to try?
Yeah, I think a really big part of it is ego. I think a lot of people hold their projects and themselves too highly from too early on, and that ostracizes a lot of people around you. I think you should be okay to fail and okay to take risks, because that's how you learn. Nothing's going to be perfect from the get-go, and that's how you find your people and you find the stories that you enjoy telling, is through failure and through mistakes. So go out, make stuff, find your people, and don't be scared to fall flat on your face.
We've got 2.5 minutes left, so I have to ask, have you had that experience of falling flat on your face?
Oh,
can you tell us?
100%. I hope no one can ever see any of the films that I ever made in high school or at UCT, because they're abysmal. But I think it's the process of being like, oh, this is horrendous. I don't want to show this to anyone. But people asking, can I see? Can I see? And then you're like, oh, I have to show these people. So yes, I've definitely fallen flat on my face many a times. Hopefully learned from it and come off better since. But it's a tough process, and it's a learning process for everyone. So yeah,
I wonder if every artist feels the same way looking back on their early work. I mean, I'm sitting here thinking if I look back at the very first one or two magazine articles I wrote when I was 19 or 20, I cringe when I look at them now. I'm sure you have the same feeling.
Very much so.
But as you say, you've got to try, you've got to put it out there. You don't learn and acquire the experience of doing this unless you're doing it.
Yes.
And you've got to start somewhere. So being prepared to try and fail and pick yourself up and try again. again, I think is a lesson that applies to just about any industry you can imagine. Santi, having said that, though, there's a whole lot more trying than there is failing these days. So good luck for the journey back to LA and beyond. And I look forward to the day where we can see you on the red carpet at the Oscars and say, you know, once upon a time back in 2024, she sat in my studio. Her name is Santi Naidu. Remember that name. And when that moment comes, we'll make sure we can replay the podcast if you can't, because by then you'll be too busy to give us a follow-up interview. No, don't doubt. Thank you very much for joining us, and very best wishes to you, Santi.
Thank you, Pippa.
So her name is Santi Naidu. The short film we were talking about is called Jerome. So keep your eye on international festival circuits and festivals coming to South Africa. If you've got an interest in short film, maybe do some Googling and read up more so you can keep an eye on Santi's career going forward.